Good afternoon, 4:30 and 79 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
No, at that point in time, I can't say that I suspected it happened, you know, every year or twice a year or what, however those numbers are coming out to be now.
Rowan County Sheriff Matt Sparks investigated one of the nation's first school shootings 22 years ago. He says he never thought they'd happen with such regularity after that.
Police on the Eastern Kentucky University campus are investigating a threat made late Sunday night.
And a murder trial gets underway in Boyd County.
In sports, the winless Lions take on Seattle in Monday Night Football.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Clear tonight with lows in the mid-50s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
According to WSAZ, jury selection is underway in Boyd County Circuit Court in the murder trial of a 46-year-old Ashland man. Charles Wilhere is accused in the May 2014 killing of 29-year-old Aaron Atkins. Prosecutors claim the Indiana resident was choked to death during a fight between the two men. They say Atkins was visiting Wilhere's home on Fairway Drive at the time.
Eastern Kentucky University is offering a $10,000 reward for information leading to the identification, arrest, and conviction of the person or persons responsible for posting a threat in a men's bathroom at the school. A message in graffiti was found in the Powell Building Sunday night and reported early this morning. EKU police indicate the message said, "Kill all by 10-8-15." Ashley McCowan is a student on the Richmond campus. She spoke with WKYT.
Sometimes it just pops into my mind that they're just doing it for attention and it's not really meaning anything. But then there's that little voice inside your head that's saying maybe they are actually going to do something.
Police have increased patrols on the campus and called in the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force.
Rowan County Sheriff Matt Sparks says when he investigated a shooting at East Carter High School in 1993, he could never have imagined that such incidents would become common. Sparks was a detective for the Kentucky State Police when a 17-year-old student fatally shot a teacher and custodian at the school in Grayson. He says he doesn't know whether the killer in the latest shooting at a community college in Oregon was taking medication for mental health problems. However, the sheriff says it would probably help to be tracking such things.
I'm not saying that because you have bipolar illness, that by no means that doesn't mean that you're a school shooter by any form or fashion. But if you're taking certain medications, those type of medications for mental illness, you know, maybe that would set up some type of flag system. Again, it's not a catch-all. It's not going to stop every shooting. But it would be at least another effort we could do to take that one step further, maybe.
Sparks says it's hard to tell whether additional mental health services would eliminate or reduce school shooting incidents, but he says it couldn't hurt.
According to the Moorhead State University Police Department's latest crime and fire safety report, there was a substantial increase in alcohol and drug violations on the campus last year. The figures are compiled in the annual Gene Clary and Fire Safety Report. They show there were 45 drug-related arrests in 2014. There were 6 arrests for liquor law violations and 22 arrests for other alcohol infractions. The Moorhead State Police report for 2013 shows no arrests for alcohol and drug violations and no disciplinary referrals. There were 27 arrests for liquor law violations in 2012, and 9 persons were charged with drug offenses.
The Department of Justice has issued a statement of interest in a federal lawsuit over children being handcuffed by a school resource officer in northern Kentucky. The American Civil Liberties Union and the parents of 2 students sued Kenton County Sheriff's Deputy Kevin Sumner and the Sheriff's Department in August over the handcuffing. Covington Independent Public School Superintendent Alvin Garrison has said Sumner complied with the district's policies, which are designed to ensure that students do not injure themselves or others. The Kentucky Inquirer reports the Justice Department statement says the Americans with Disabilities Act applies to resource officers and that school policies should dissuade the school-to-prison pipeline created by criminalizing misbehavior.
Nearly half of the land in Kentucky is forested, and that's why it's important that the state do more to prevent timber theft. That's what the director of the Kentucky Division of Forestry told a panel of state lawmakers in Frankfort last week. Leah McSword says people don't realize who owns that land.
It's important to note that of Kentucky's forest, 88% of those forests are owned by private forest landowners. We have less than 10% of the acres in Kentucky are owned by government, whether that be local government, state government, or federal government.
McSword says that means most of the timber being harvested illegally is being stolen from Kentucky's own people.
Rowan County has taken possession of the land where it plans to construct its new detention center. Judge Executive Walter Blevin says the county gave property owner Arch Johnson a $700,000 check for the site last week. It's located on U.S. 60 East, just outside of downtown Moorhead, where the former Eastern Kentucky Tobacco Warehouse currently stands. Blevin says the property is more than big enough for the new 250 to 300-bed jail.
I think it's about 8 acres, I think. Six of it's under building. So it's a pretty good site, and it's relatively, you know, all level, and it's been used for many, many years, and now hopefully we're going to turn it into something that's the county needs.
Blevin says the county will hire someone to tear down the old warehouse. Bids for that work will go out soon. The judge hopes a groundbreaking for Rowan's new lockup will be held later this fall.
Regent Corporation's plans for its new facility in Moorhead are moving forward. The multi-frequency wireless solutions company announced in late March it will invest $762,000 in taking over a 9,600-square-foot facility on East Main Street. The interim head of the Moorhead-Rowan County Economic Development Council, Terry Enser, says it won't be long before Regent will be operational inside the building.
They are in construction, remodeling the inside of the building and doing a fit-up to meet the needs that they're going to have there. And it'll probably be 2 or 3 months before you can really see a big presence in there. But they are moving forward and looking forward to being here.
Regent hopes to eventually have 28 employees in Moorhead. CEO Robert Skeena said last week the company will work with Moorhead State University's Space Science Center to create a wireless network in space.
Eastern Kentucky will be better able to attract new jobs in aerospace, hydraulics, and robotics when the new Center for Advanced Manufacturing opens in Rowan County. So says the director of the Rowan campus of the Maysville Community and Technical College. Russ Ward says the center will be a key component of the new Rowan campus. He's hoping to break ground for the 91,000-square-foot facility in March, following a fundraising campaign. Ward says the Advanced Manufacturing Center will enable the Rowan MCTC to train students for jobs that are increasingly in demand.
We're actually beginning to see manufacturing come back in this country. We've had a great decline since the 70s in manufacturing in the United States, and we are seeing more of that. You know, as we're moving into high-tech industry, into the aerospace, these are the types of jobs people are wanting.
Ward says it'll be easier to bring new manufacturers to the region once the new training center is up and running.
The $180 million redesign and renovation of the Kentucky International Convention Center will bring more trade and commerce to the Bluegrass, so says the communications director for the Kentucky Tourism Cabinet. Scotty Ellis says 55,000 square feet are being added to the facility in downtown Louisville, and that'll make it more attractive for large conferences.
Conventions are really big for our state, and they're very competitive. And, you know, Louisville really stands out. And this renovation, although it will be closed for 2 years, it's expected to have a $50 million economic impact once it reopens.
Ellis says the renovated convention center will have a larger ballroom and an environmental design that promotes energy and water conservation.
When the Kentucky General Assembly gathers for its 2016 session in January, updating the state's tax system should be a front and center issue, so says 27th District State Senator Steve West. West says modernizing the tax code would create thousands of jobs, since it would convince businesses and companies to move to the Commonwealth. However, the Bourbon County Republican admits he's not certain if his fellow lawmakers will be willing to take up the matter.
That remains to be seen. I do agree. It's a tough issue. It's a large and very complex issue to take on. So I think that's why it hasn't been done in the past. Is it's such an overwhelming issue for people to get their heads around.
At this point, West doesn't know what form a tax modernization plan in the Commonwealth would take, but he says it's too important of an issue to continue to leave on the back burner.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet will hold a ceremonial groundbreaking for a bridge replacement over the Licking River. MSPR's Jacob Lindberg reports.
The event is scheduled for Tuesday, October 13th at the McGoffin County Health Department. H.B. Elkins is a spokesman for the Cabinet's District 10 office.
We've let a contract to replace a bridge on Kentucky 30 in McGoffin County. This is in the Hendricks community that's just a bit south of the Mountain Parkway interchange that's currently undergoing reconstruction as part of the Mountain Parkway widening project.
Elkins says the new bridge will cost $2.2 million and should be completed late next year. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
A federal judge last week slapped down an effort by the Kentucky Board of Examiners of Psychology to halt the printing of a syndicated advice column in the state. However, as Josh James reports, the case represents just one in a string of court battles over the legal reach of occupational licensing boards.
U.S. District Judge Gregory Van Tatenhove ruled that the board violated the First Amendment by issuing a cease and desist order to newspaper columnist John Rosemond over charges that advice contained in his February 12, 2013, Living with Children piece amounted to the unlicensed practice of psychology. Rosemond, who is licensed in North Carolina, fought back and won. But as the attorney who argued the case for the columnist, Paul Sherman with the Institute for Justice, notes, the issue in question could eventually find its way to the Supreme Court.
One of the most important unanswered questions in First Amendment law is whether occupational licensing laws can trump the First Amendment right to give that kind of advice.
Sherman points to conflicting rulings across the country involving a wide range of defendants, from bloggers to historical tour guides, cases where courts have disagreed over where to draw the line between licensing board authority and free speech protections. As for the Rosemond case, he anticipates it will resurface in future proceedings.
It's a very important precedent, and we think it will be influential in other courts.
A spokesman for the Kentucky Board of Examiners of Psychology tells WUKY the board is still reviewing the decision and has no comment at this time. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Despite inclement weather Saturday, more than 200 people participated in the Alzheimer's Association's Walk to End Alzheimer's in Ashland. Maggie Walsh is communications specialist for the organization.
We were particularly happy with the money that we raised. We raised over $41,000, and I think that is very significant from this community. You know, Ashland is a great city and has a lot of community support, but that is just a fantastic number and also a very lofty goal that we exceeded.
Walsh says the money raised from the walks all over Kentucky will go towards Alzheimer's research, care, and support services.
And finally this afternoon, the Gateway District Health Department is making preparations for this year's strain of the flu virus. According to Executive Director Bobby Ratliff, the health department and all of its county offices in Bath, Menifee, Morgan, and Rowan counties have the vaccine available.
Flu vaccine is the easiest, simplest way to protect yourself during the winter flu season. Highly recommended by everybody. All of the medical professionals recommend getting your vaccine as soon as it becomes available.
Ratliff says the price of flu shots this season is $20.
Taking a look at your weather for tonight, clear with patchy valley fog near dawn, lows around 55 degrees. For tomorrow, warm and sunny with highs in the upper 70s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with patchy valley fog near dawn, lows in the mid-50s. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies with patchy valley fog early in the day. Highs will be around 75 degrees. For Wednesday night, partly cloudy with lows in the mid-50s. Thursday, we'll see sunny skies with highs in the upper 70s. And on Friday, mostly cloudy with showers likely and a slight chance of thunderstorms. Highs around 70 degrees and the chance of rain is at 60%. It is currently 78 degrees in Ashland, 77 in Flemingsburg, 75 degrees in Inez, and 78 degrees in Lexington, Winchester, and right here in Moorhead.
4:45, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It is good to have you along on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, extremely preterm babies face the risk of long-term complications, chronic illness, and an overall difficult road forward. But as the Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre reports, a new study shows that their survival rates have improved.
It's good news for the tiniest and most vulnerable among us. Thanks to changes in care practices and other advances, survival rates for extreme preterm infants, sometimes called micropreemies, are on the rise. The study from the National Institutes of Health Research Network looked at more than 34,000 babies born between 22 and 28 weeks gestation over 20 years. Between 2009 and 2012, survival rates for babies born at 23 weeks increased from 27% to 33%. Dr. Hubie Ballard, a neonatologist at Kentucky Children's Hospital, says the trends in Kentucky are incredibly similar to the national study, and he expects advancements in the future.
I think we will get better at mechanical ventilation. There's research studies looking at artificial placentas and things like that. We will continue to improve.
According to Ballard, the Kentucky Children's Hospital averages 150 to 200 micropreemie admissions a year. He says adequate prenatal care is improving in Kentucky, which plays an important role in increasing the survival rate of babies born early. According to the CDC, about one out of every 10 babies in the United States is born preterm, or before 37 weeks, with about 1 in 100 born before 28 weeks. Pediatric neonatologist William Trogue is co-author of the study.
There is continuing reason for optimism for these children, and yet at the same time, we know that being born with this degree of prematurity, the course is long, difficult, and still the risk of long-term developmental problems is still substantially higher.
Trogue says standardizing certain practices, like giving a mother in early labor a short course of steroids to boost the baby's lungs, has been a big factor. He stresses that while modern medicine has made great strides toward treating extremely premature infants, there is simply no substitute for a healthy full-term pregnancy.
Every week or two that a baby can stay in the womb safely by stopping or delaying labor, it just confers a huge survival advantage week by week.
The study appears in the online edition of the Journal of the American Medical Association. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
4:48, All Things Considered from NPR at 5 o'clock, and Jared has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad, operated by the Kentucky Innovation Network at Moorhead State University. The Innovation Launchpad is a local and state-supported business incubator for new or startup businesses with consulting services, office spaces, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Moorhead, the Innovation Launchpad can help grow companies, encourage business partnerships, and create jobs. More information at 606-783-9536.
The Lions look to get their first win tonight. Good evening, reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Jared Wesley. Seattle's 12th man will be front and center during Monday Night Football when the Seahawks host Detroit. Michael Gustin reports.
At 1-2, the Seattle Seahawks will try to even the record as they face the winless Lions. As they go for that first win of 2015, playing in the Emerald City will be a challenge for the Lions. The Hawks have won 23 of their last 25 home games. However, Coach Pete Carroll's team will again be without Pro Bowl running back Marshawn Lynch, who's out because of neck, back, and calf injuries. Seattle's defense will look to feast on a Detroit team that has just 135 total rushing yards this season and has turned it over 8 times. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Michael Gustin reporting.
The Cincinnati Bengals continue to impress. Sunday's 36-21 win at home over Kansas City improved the Bengals to 4-0 and marks just the second time they've held that record during the 13-year tenure of head coach Marvin Lewis, who was especially pleased with his team's second-half work against the Chiefs.
We came out and were able to get the stop on defense and got rolling on offense. We were able to put the ball in and got it back up to a two-score lead. And I thought that's the first time this season we've been able to do that. And we showed some confidence and poise in doing that.
The Bengals offense was led by Andy Dalton, who passed for 321 yards and a touchdown, and by Jeremy Hill, who rushed for three touchdowns. Cincinnati is back at Paul Brown Stadium next Sunday to face Seattle. The struggling Dolphins have made a coaching change. Here's AP correspondent Wayne Rustin.
A deflating 1-3 start has cost Miami Dolphins head coach Joe Philbin his job. Tight ends coach Dan Campbell will be the interim coach. Philbin was 24-28 in his 3+ seasons with the Dolphins, who have not finished above 500 since he came to Miami in 2012. In a statement, Dolphins owner Stephen Ross called Philbin's release a tough decision, but he was confident there was enough talent on the team to turn the season around. Campbell has been on the Dolphins coaching staff for 5 years, following an 11-year career as an NFL player. Wayne Rustin, Miami.
Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops believes his team was fortunate to win Saturday, saying the Wildcats were generally outcoached and outplayed during their 34-27 overtime win against Eastern Kentucky. UK had to rally from a 27-13 fourth quarter deficit to improve to 4-1. However, quarterback Patrick Toll says he never lost faith in the Cats.
You know, there was never any point tonight where I thought we were going to lose the game. And I honestly believe that. You know, there were probably 20,000 people who did, but that wasn't me. You know, and that's not our team. You know, our team, we're going to fight. We make plays when we have to. And if we keep making plays when we have to, then I really like our chances.
It was Toll's 3-yard touchdown pass to Dorian Baker that made the difference for the Cats in the extra period. UK will host Auburn 1 week from Thursday in SEC action. Multiple reports say the Morehead State men's basketball program has received a verbal commitment from an Indiana prep basketball standout. 6'3", 150-pound shooting guard Jamin Henson of Lawrence North High School will sign with MSU in November. Considered a scorer, the Indy star ranks Henson as the Hoosier State's 8th best prospect. MSU is said to have beaten out the likes of IUPUI, Western Illinois, and Northern Kentucky for Henson's services. In ending the 2015 season with a 4-0 loss in Pittsburgh, the Cincinnati Reds finished at 64-98, one of their worst seasons in franchise history. Even so, it was announced over the weekend that manager Brian Price will return in 2016. Price's ball club dealt with several key injuries this year, which pushed a number of young players into his makeshift lineup. Additionally, after Johnny Cueto and Mike Leake were traded in midseason, Price was forced to use an all-rookie starting rotation. He says he's glad he's getting another shot.
It's one thing to go through the labor pains, but I think you want to be there to deliver the baby. You know, you want to see that the challenges that we've endured, we've worked our way through, we've reestablished.
General Manager Walt Jocketty announced Price's return on Saturday. The MLB postseason begins tomorrow. That's right, Tuesday night it will be Houston at New York in the one-game wild card game in the American League. And then on Wednesday, the National League one-game wild card playoff game will take place. That one will have the Chicago Cubs playing at Pittsburgh. The winner of the Houston-New York game will take on Kansas City, and the winner of the Chicago-Pittsburgh game will take on the St. Louis Cardinals. Morehead State volleyball coach Jamie Gordon hopes his team has finally turned the corner. The Eagles improved to 2-2 in OVC play following a strong straights win at home against Austin Peay on Saturday at Weatherby Gym. Gordon says the key now is to build on that impressive effort.
You know, I think we've got to really capture a lot of what we did today. You know, we talked about in the locker room just doing our job and doing what we are capable of, and I think that's what we saw out here.
The MSU volleyball team plays a league match on Friday at UT Martin. Finally, tonight in sports, the Rowan County boys soccer team is at home tonight for a 6 o'clock game. The Vikings will face Johnson Central with a 4-11 record. Coach Max Hammond needs his team to play smart and fast.
You know, I mean, we've just got to use our soccer knowledge and our speed up top. You know, we've got speed a lot of places on the field.
the Vikings will go into the match with a 10-6-1 record. That is going to do it tonight for sports. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Morehead State University welcomes alumni and friends for homecoming this weekend as football hosts Butler at 1 p.m. on Saturday. You can find tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed more than 1.5% higher, extending Friday's surprise intraday reversal as investors digested the implications of the jobs data on the timing of a rate hike and awaited quarterly earnings reports, which of course start this week. And at the close, the Dow Industrial Average was up 304.06 to finish at 16,776.43, briefly topping its 50-day moving average for the first time since July 21st. IBM, Goldman Sachs, and Caterpillar were your best Dow stocks today. And the NASDAQ composite swung back into positive territory for 2015, although it underperformed the other indices today, as the NASDAQ did have a gain of 73.49 at 4781.26. The NASDAQ again was held back by relative weakness in the biotechnology sector, as the iShares NASDAQ Biotechnology ETF actually ended 0.8% lower. Apple did manage a small gain of 0.36% today, and the S&P 500 was up 35.69 at 1987.05. And this, as of today, the S&P is up 5 days in a row, and that's the first time that it's had that type of streak in 2015. Industrials and energy were your best performing sectors today, as both sectors were up about 2.5%. Crude oil was up 72 cents today, finishing at $46.26 a barrel. Third quarter earnings season kicks off later in the week with Pepsi, Alcoa, and a few other companies reporting. The consensus is that S&P 500 earnings will decline close to 4%. In U.S. economic news, the ISM non-manufacturing index came in at 56.9 for September, below August read of 59, and also below expectations of 57.5. The ISM manufacturing report last week showed softness in the manufacturing sector. Treasury yields held higher, with the 10-year yield finishing at 2.05% after finishing below 2% late last week, and the 2-year yield finished at 0.61%. Shares of Twitter spiked more than 5.5%, attempting to top its 50-day moving average on news that the social media firm named Jack Dorsey permanent CEO, and shares of Alphabet, which is the new umbrella company for Google, jumped in their first few minutes of trading today, and both the Class A and Class C shares of Alphabet had strong gains of about 2%. Turning out to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1.36 at $104.75, CSX up 52 cents at $27.83, Marathon Petroleum up $2.17 at $50.56, AEP up $1.12 at $57.44, AK Steel up 21 cents at $2.77, and Community Trust Bank was up 45 cents to finish at $34.80. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the MSU Department of Music, Theater, and Dance, presenting Moby Dick Rehearsed by the Little Company and the Lucille Caudill Little Theater in Breckenridge Hall at Morehead State University. A play written by Orson Welles, a Shakespearean company puts down their scripts for King Lear and instead rehearses a new play about Moby Dick. 7:30 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday, October 6th through the 10th, and 2 p.m. on Sunday, October 11th. Reservations from the MSU Music Theater and Dance box office weekdays noon to 5 p.m. or by calling 783-2170.
Taking a final look at the listening areas, weather for tonight, clear with patchy valley fog near dawn, lows around 55 degrees. For tomorrow, it's going to be warm and sunny with highs in the upper 70s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies with patchy valley fog near dawn, lows in the mid-50s. For Wednesday, mostly sunny with patchy valley fog early, highs of 75 degrees. It is currently 78 degrees in Morehead.
And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Tanner Boyd, Jared Wesley, Arlo Barnett, Braxton Howard, Michael Gustin, and Jacob Lindberg. From WUKY, Josh James, and from the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyer. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.